Amen. Well, again, these guys, the pastors, have just been sharing on stronger families. And man, these have been great messages. Pastor Joy kicking it off, and Pastor Christian a couple of weeks as well. And then Frankie last week. I think tonight Frankie is out. He's learning Lamaze tonight. I'm so excited for the journey he's setting on, you know, and learning all these fun stuff, you know. Learning how to get up in the middle of the night with babies and feed them when his wife kicks him out of the bed and said, it's your turn to feed the baby. Go on. And so I'm just excited for the adventure that's ahead of him. And so I think they're going through that tonight. But, you know, be praying for them. Their baby's coming in the next week or two. So I'm excited for them. So instead of him having his second part tonight, I've got it tonight. I want to share something that's on my heart with you. And we're going to start over in Proverbs, the 10th chapter. What I'll be sharing with you is something that's been on my heart for years, and I've endeavored to walk in it, to live it out. I think I've been doing a pretty good job overall, but there's always room to do better. And the more I grow in understanding, the better I can do. And listen, through these messages that we've been walking through and learning about how to have stronger families, stronger family units, how to be better husbands and wives and moms and dads, and better in budgeting our finances and a variety of things that make life so good. And if you find that you haven't been doing so good, remember this, you can always do better. I mean, once it comes to you and revelation comes, it's better late than never, right? And listen, you can't change the past, but you can change your tomorrows. I just wish I had known, you know, 40 years ago what I know today. I just wish I had known, but we did the best that we can. And many of you that have already raised your kids, you did the best that you could, and you're praying they do even better. But the Lord's not done with us yet. He's not done with me yet, and I want to keep doing better. Let's look at Proverbs, the 10th chapter. Look at verse 1 with me. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Listen, how you live is so important. And you know, through the book of Proverbs, you see all through the book of Proverbs where it talks about the way the foolish speak, how the foolish despise wisdom, despise understanding. And in Proverbs, I was looking at Proverbs 15, verse 5 and 20, it talks about a fool despising his mother and his father. That's foolish. We need to understand greater things than that. And I know some of us, we have this unique situation. Some of us didn't have a father to grow up with them. And maybe not a father or a mother. I know there's unique situations. But we're going to learn some things tonight about the way that we live and how we approach a relationship with our moms and our dads, even at an adulthood. And so it's important how you live. And the word despise means to be in contempt of, to scorn, to disdain, to consider worthless and unworthy of honor. You know, and with all of that being said, when we're talking about families, this topic keeps coming back up to me, and it keeps coming back up, and it affects our life. This thing, it's the principle of honor. It's a principle of honor. And I want to take you to Proverbs 31. You know, at the end of the Proverbs, it's talking about honoring a virtuous woman. Honoring a virtuous woman. And I want to bring out something in this verse, in verse 31. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Now, when you read that, you've got to think, hey, it's not just praising her at home. It's praising her and honoring her in public. Why is that so important? Because we need a culture of honor. Our culture is being attacked today in the area of honor. There's so much dishonor in our society, all through our media, through social media. What is happening to police officers today is horrific. It just really riles me up. It just aggravates the hound out of me how men that are protecting us, and I know they're not all perfect, but the way they are being dishonored is not where we want our culture to go. That's not where we want our society to go. That's dangerous. It's not good for any of us. And so we need to talk about honor. It needs to come back into our culture and our society, this principle called honor. look at the definition of honor. It means value, worth, weight. Honor means giving weight to something, giving value to something. When you dishonor it, it means you take it lightly, that it means nothing. In talking about honor, here's where we struggle. And I'm sure that you may be thinking that right now. And if you're not doing it right now, you probably have or will. We know we need to do this, but we feel like there's people in our lives, folks in our life that don't deserve it. Come on. That's what we went, yeah, I know, preacher, you said we got to honor, but they don't deserve it. It's kind of like forgiveness. You say, Lord, not that one. give them what they got coming to them. Right? But we think about that and think, well, what about honor? Now, I want to start with understanding some principles about honor. It starts by understanding that honoring begins with God's claim on us. God, when we're honoring it, we got to look at it through God's eyes, and we got to look at it from God's claim on us. Every person, in their complete corruption, no matter how corrupt they are, the depravity of their lives, God can see everything that they have done. Is that right? But also, God can see everything that they can be. That's what God sees. You say, preacher, I just don't know. Well, let me take it down to something maybe you do understand. Let's look at being parents of our children. How many of your kids have ever let you down? That ought to be nearly every hand in the house. I mean, our kids all at some point let us down. And what we do is we rehearse in our mind the things that they've done, but we never stop rehearsing in our mind of what they can be. See, that's the example. That's the way God looks at things. And that's the way we are with our kids. And now, you know, even when they mess up, we think that's when they need us the most. Right? That's when they need us the most. And when they mess up, we look at them that they still have value. They have value. And you know, when we come in here to church, when people come in these doors, well, our desire is not to look at them how they are, but how they could be. We want to look at them how God sees them. We want to look at you how God sees you, that you have value. No matter where your life has been, no matter how much you've messed up, God sees so much more. And when we come together as brothers and sisters, we need to look at each other and that, you know what, when we look at them, we look at you, you can know God. You can know God. You can find freedom. You can discover purpose. And you know what? You can make a difference. You can be a difference maker in your life. That's how we want to look at people. Not where you came from, but where you can go. That's our end game. That's our full redemption, that one day we're going to stand before God and God's going to make us perfect. My spirit's going to be perfect. I'm going to have a perfect body, redeemed, and it's not going to be corrupt anymore. I'm going to be made perfect. Well, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, it says that Christ is the first fruits of all of us that have fallen asleep. And I was looking over in Ephesians 3, 20, that God is able to do abundantly above and beyond all that I can ask or imagine according to the power that works on the inside of me. So see, God is saying, I've got something sourced on the inside of you that you could be so much more. And see, God, He chooses to see you that way through the blood of the Lamb. Through Jesus Christ, Jesus, God is looking at you and He's looking through Jesus and He doesn't see all your faults. He doesn't see all your mistakes and the sins. He's forgiven you all those. And He's looking through the blood and He sees you as all that you can be. Now, wow, that's amazing to me. That shows me how much God loves me and what He's done for me. He sees me through the blood of His Son, Jesus. Romans 8, verse 30. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Those He predestined, that means He has a plan for every man, woman, and child. And it's to be glorified. It's to be made right. So God sees us that way. And listen, if God sees us that way, we should see that too. We should see it through God's eyes. So we need to be honoring. Honoring is seeing people the way that God sees them, through God's eye. That's where it starts. It begins with God's claim on us. Secondly, here's something you got to get a hold of. Honoring benefits me. Honoring something or someone else benefits me. It's not so much for the people on the receiving end as it is on the people on the giving end. It has more of an effect on us than it does on them when we honor someone. Have you noticed that when you honor your boss and maybe a coworker, or maybe honoring your spouse, to the degree that you honor determines the degree that you receive from them? Did y'all get that? As you honor your boss, honor your spouse, the degree that you honor them is the degree that you can receive from them. Think about that in the scripture, Mark 6. Jesus talked about it. It's talked about Jesus going back to his hometown. And he said he couldn't do much there because of their unbelief. Why? They looked at Jesus as just an average, normal man. They didn't honor him as a son of God. And to that level is the level they received from him. How much you honor determines how much you can receive in return. See, the way they honored Jesus, that showed them what they could get back from Jesus, which was very little. In Ephesians, let's look over at Ephesians 6. We're talking about stronger families. In Ephesians 6, verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, if you go read the context of that, verse 1 talks about, oh, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is good. This is what you need to do. Obey your parents. And then it changes the language. It changes, the dynamic of it changes, because suddenly in verse 2, we're not all children, but we all have moms and dads. So it's talking about transitions from children and obeying your mom and dad to being an adult. As an adult, you don't need to obey your parents. See, when you're obeying your parents, they're supposed to be training you. They're teaching you as a child. And so, yeah, you need to obey. You're living in their household, eating their food and all that, and your room and board is all, hey, but they're training you, so they're trying to instruct you. That means you need to obey so that you can learn. But then you go into adulthood, you don't need to obey them, but you definitely need to honor them. So we got to find out what that is. Honor is adding weight and value to the father and the mother, which is the first commandment, that if you'll do it, you're going to be blessed. See, honoring them blesses you. There's a promise attached to it that you do it, it'll go well with you. See, God takes this really serious. He takes it very serious. And did you notice there's not a stipulation in there that said whether or not your mom and dad was a good mom and dad? Come on. He didn't say if they're really good parents and they attend church every Sunday and Wednesday, then you can honor them. Because you're thinking right now, my mom and daddy wasn't all that great. Come on. They messed up. They did this. They did that. He didn't say if they were a good parent to you. Not that you have to obey, but what you're doing is honoring the seat that they sit in. Come on. It's kind of like a judge. You're honoring that judge. And I know we have some judges that are not great, they're not perfect, but you honor the position that they're in. You give weight to that position that they're in as a judge. So, you know, we understand that respect is earned. But the third is that honor is given. It's not that you're waiting for them to deserve it, but you give it anyway. You give honor. Didn't say they had to earn it. You're always going to have an opportunity to honor somebody that doesn't deserve it. Come on. You're always going to have that opportunity. There's going to be someone that you need to be honoring that doesn't deserve it. But listen, just be wise and give it anyway. Do it. You can make a choice. Look, go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Now, when he's writing this, the governors and leaders were not all good people. Come on. They were not the best people. But he said, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king or the supreme, as the supreme authority, or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Now let me pause, take a sidetrack. It's just like the police officers and all this stuff that's going on with our police force. I know there's police officers that are not good. Come on. But the essence of what they are appointed to do is to protect those that do right and bring an awful bad time to those that are doing wrong. Come on. And I'm going to honor that position. Look at verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Live as servants of God. How? The next verse says, show proper respect to everyone. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. It's a biblical principle for you and I, and God will open up a door to bless us if we do it right. Come on. If we took a whiteboard up here, I mean, honor is slipping away in our culture. Honor is slipping away in our culture. If I took a whiteboard up here and I put it up, I said, okay, you start telling me what honor looks like. What would it look like to you? Some of you'd have to start looking back, okay, well, how did mama and daddy do it? Because you don't see it so much in the society. How about opening the door for a lady? Now you may have some of those guys say, what are you doing? I'm opening my own door. Well, it's not all about that, you know. I'm respecting you. Or opening for anybody that's coming after you. How about giving your seat to someone that needs a seat, someone that's feeble, somebody? Or on subways, I've seen all these pictures of subways where you got all these kids sitting in seats and they're on their devices, and there's a woman who looks like she's about 90 years old trying to hold on to a pole in the subway. Where's the honor in that? Honor the elderly. Preferential treatment to the pregnant ladies. Come on. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. And I'm thinking, okay, what does that look like? How do we honor each other? Let me give you three quick ways to do that. Number one, you prioritize them. Because whatever is first to you is what's honored. Whatever is first is honored. It's like when you step aside and say, please, you first, you go first. You've prioritized them above you. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. See, when Kathy and I, our whole married life, I came to know the Lord, and we gave our lives to the Lord, and we built our relationship, our marriage, our family on God first. I mean, we gave weight to who he was in our lives. So we have always tithed simply because he's first. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be living, moving, and breathing. He's everything to me. He carries the weight of priority in my life, so I give. So every time that you bring your finances in, you're giving weight to and honoring God for who he is in your life. Prioritize. It's not just in money, of course, it's everything. I've given my life to the Lord. I've followed Jesus. I've given him honor in my heart to serve Jesus. You know, it's kind of like you guys being here tonight. You've given weight to honoring God of you being here even on a Wednesday night. Sundays when we come together, I give weight to God in my life by starting my week off, by coming in and bringing in my worship to the Lord and the fellowship of the brethren, because God is first in my life. So I prioritize Him. That's how I do it. I prioritize Him. He's first in everything. Listen to Proverbs 3:9 in the Message. Honor God with everything you own. Give Him the first and the best. Not just my money, but my heart. You know, like when Christian come up, give to God your time, your talent, and your tithe. But your time and your talent. Amen? So God, putting God first. Second way, show honor is by praising Him. Now, I'm not just talking about honoring God, but I'm talking about honor father and mother, honoring co-worker, honoring friend, etc. And that's important because honor has a language. It's where you praise people and you lift them up. And listen, here's the thing. Not just when they're standing right in front of you. When they walk off, how you talk about them. Do you trash them when they walk off? Do you snicker and sneer when they walk off? You're not honoring them. You're not praising them when you're talking bad. Are you with me? When they walk off, do you acknowledge them to others in a positive way? Listen, God sees it all. He's watching. Look at James 3, verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, the same tongue, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. See, God's giving value to them, and we devalue them. That's not honor. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. And he says, my brothers, this should not be. It shouldn't be a part of who we are. It's important because honor has words. So one of the best ways that you can honor someone is how you speak to them or speak about them, right? So we're learning to honor. Ephesians 4:29, to not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So he's saying, you shouldn't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Right? Bear with me, Lord. I know you'll forgive me. But I'm fixing to give him a tongue lashing. That's not even better, any better than if you're going to take a pipe to him and beat him down, man. Lord, bear with me. You know I'll repent. And then I'll pray for their healing. It ought not to be, right? Come on. Now listen, the next verse is important. He's talking about how we relate to one another, how we honor one another. And then he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Because see, every time we get it wrong, it grieves God. Every time, doesn't it grieve your spirit when all of a sudden you're talking bad about somebody, you're trashing them? And y'all with me? Every time we get it wrong, it grieves God. And you know what? I don't feel like I can afford to grieve God. I need Him. I need Him on my side. I need Him to favor me. So we're showing honor. Another way that we do that is we protect people, our brothers and sisters and family. Why? Because anything that you have that's of value, what do? You protect it. So you got to place value on it. And when you're valuing it, you're not covering their sins, you're protecting their weaknesses. Come on. See, some of you grew up in some of the denominations that it was like the way of life to gossip. Come on. Is that right? Am I right? Okay, that's three of you. Okay. I mean, you grew up where to get together and talk about everybody's faults is just what we do. You almost thought it was a godly thing to do until you started reading the scripture. Say, whoops, gossip, sin, you know, murmuring and complaining and griping and running people down, trashing people, that's not good. That's not honoring God. God said it ought not to be. So you're protecting them, and you're not just covering their sins. You're protecting them in their weaknesses and help them to overcome things. It's just like, you remember the story of Noah when he had his three sons and he grew a vineyard. It's over in Genesis, the 9th chapter. Go read all that. He grew a vineyard, but he started getting down on that wine, man. I guess, well, you grow a vineyard, you grow it for wine, I guess, or not just grapes. But he got drunk one evening, and he was drunk, passed out in his tent, naked as a jaybird, just naked. So the youngest son strolls in there and sees him and and goes out and tells him, "Look, Dad's in there passed out drunk and naked as a jaybird." Well, the other two brothers, they took a blanket over their shoulders. They backed into the tent where they couldn't see their dad, and they covered him up. And of course, that came back bad for Ham, the youngest one. But see, they wanted to cover his weakness, not expose the shame of it. Are y'all with me? That was honoring their dad. That's special. That's special to me. John 7, verse 18, "He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself." Go to bragging, carry on. "Man, I am the best in the West and better than the rest." You start honoring yourself, you're doing it to gain honor for yourself. But listen to this. This is a critical thing to understand. "But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him." That's what I want to be. That's what I have endeavored to try to follow. I want to be a man of truth that my kids can think well of me. When I come to serve Pastor Dwayne here, I come to serve him as an armor bearer and a servant for him, to lift him up. He's a senior pastor. You know what I'm saying? And I want to be a man of truth, and I'm doing it for the one and bring honor to the one who sent me because of the vision in his heart, the purpose in his heart. And see, that's where you and I need to be. I just think that's wonderful. So, let me just wind this down. Do we want to be men and women of truth? Every time we honor, it does something for us. Every time we honor, it does something for us. So I want to challenge you this week to really be thinking about it. And as you go through the week, look at a situation or something or someone that you can honor and bring honor to, and see how God will bring blessings back to you. This is not one of those, as I was saying that, I'm thinking, I've seen all those, Facebook, "Well, if you'll do this and this and this by such and such in time, such blessings will come on you." I thought, I never do that. That's the goofiest stuff, man. Come on. You know, if you send it to seven people, this will come back to you. No, but God's word is true, that if I'll do according to his word and truly speak honor over somebody, then it'll bring blessing back to me. So I challenge you this week, find a situation where the enemy, here's what you're going to be faced with. It's not so much you're looking to just do it. You're going to look at a situation where the enemy's going to try to get you to dishonor someone. And by choice, you'll say, "No, I'm going to honor them by not dishonoring them." Y'all with me? And see how God does that. The more I value something, the more I can gain value from it. The more I value my job, the more I can gain value from my job. The more I value my church, the more I can gain value from my church. The more I value God, the more I can gain value back from God. Amen? Amen? Wow, praise. I wanted to share that with you tonight because I think it's so needed, and we need to be culture-impacting believers. Where the enemy is coming in to tear up our society, we need to impart God's purpose and will and desire on our society and be giving honor where honor is due. Amen? Now listen, if you messed up, I think we've probably all messed up at times. I've messed up. I've repented. What do you do when you mess up? Repent and say, "God, direct me. Show me how to get this right. Show me how to get it right, man." And it starts, and like with stronger families, starts with your family. Well, how do you honor them? Give weight to who they are. They might not have been the best parents. I think one of the best ways that you can show honor to your parents is by forgiving them. forgiving them. Amen. Just let it go and love them in their life. They've all made mistakes. You've made mistakes if you've parented over 3 days. Come on. We're not born perfect parents. Neither were yours. Forgive them. Honor the position. Love them. Respect them. Bless them and walk with them. Amen. Let's stand together.